You're listening to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast, where it's not always advisable, but it is always endorsed.
Hello again, this is Adam Tracy, and welcome to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. I am here with the great and powerful Sasha today, and Sasha has a very interesting story because Sasha was a party hostess, as I understand it. And that can mean many things, but Sasha, why don't you tell us, generally speaking, what that entails in the context in which you were known as a party host.
Right. So it's also otherwise known as a domi. That's actually a Korean term. But basically what I did was I was hired by this company, and there's many companies that do this. And they hire a bunch of girls, and basically they drive you around to different venues in K-Town. And you, they're like private rooms that mainly guys book, like with their friends, and you get paid by the hour to like flirt, party, drink, and everything, just basically give them company.
Gotcha. So you fall into this how? Like, so let's set the table, right? Like, so you are out here and you're here for a reason to do something. Maybe this wasn't like your career choice, obviously. What were you trying to do, and how did you ultimately, how did it lead to this opportunity?
Well, I had moved to LA from Florida very spontaneously after 2 months of first visiting LA. So, and I was a bartender in Florida, and I found it very difficult to find a bartending job out here. I didn't know what to do. So I actually went on Craigslist. I was just like desperate looking for jobs. And I see this ad that says that they called it like a karaoke hostess. So I called the guy, I did an interview at Boba Tea. And you know, he gave me the rundown. At first, I was like, wait a minute, am I like getting sex trafficked? He's like, yeah, you just get in this van. And then,
right. See you later. Yeah. Okay, thanks. Yeah, that'll teach you to use Craigslist, right?
But yeah, so I basically was just desperate for money. And when it said, you know, you can make up to $700 a night, I was like, this can't be real. But then I tried it out and basically just did it for the money. But I ultimately came out here to model. So it was just paying for my lifestyle while I was doing it.
Right. So the draw is the money, obviously. Like, you come from the service industry. You know, I've always, and having worked in it myself, like, it was always very self-fulfilling in the sense that you knew when you went to work, you left with money, like cash. And yeah, it was like, you didn't have to wait to Friday. You didn't have to wait till like the 15th of the month. You got it there and there. So this, in, I guess, if I'm, and I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but this was really sort of like just bartending, but at a much greater level, in the sense that you're making far more money than you probably make unless you're at some upper echelon club or whatever, which, as you pointed out, is tough to get those jobs.
Right. But it was way more money for a lot less manual labor, kind of, you know, like I literally just had to sit there and look hot and drink and,
So, okay. So let's talk about job requirements, right? Like, every job has a requirement. Looking hot, that's one. The ability or wantonness to party, which seemingly you were cool with. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine there's some degree of chicanery, for lack of a better word, because you probably wouldn't have partied with everybody who was at these parties given the opportunity, right? Like, these weren't all like, you know, these people were there for like their own reason and whatever. And they may not have been like people you'd hang out with outside of that setting.
Definitely not. In the time of the 3 years I was doing it, I probably met like close to like over 2,000 men. And I have never hung out with a single one of them, just to put it in context, like outside of work. Like,
so. Right. Not for lack of their trying, but it just never.
Yeah. You wouldn't get them dead. Dead hanging out with them.
And so you meet this guy, you know, you meet this guy in Craigslist, but he's like a service, right? So you're making X, but he is the grand poobah of the whole thing. He's like the host, and you're...
There's actually one guy on top of him.
Oh.
In the hierarchy.
So you've got to cut what you make with the guy above you, and then he presumably cuts what he makes with the guy above him.
Yes. He's basically like our... pimp, I guess. I don't know. He's making money off of us. So
yeah,
we get paid hourly, but we only get paid when we're booked. We have to actually get booked. So we try all these different rooms. There's it's on a whiteboard. Each venue, it depends on the night. Sometimes there's 10 rooms in one venue. Sometimes there's one if it's a slow night. But anyway, all the numbers are on the board. You try all the rooms. It's basically like a speed audition. It's literally like acting, basically. So you have to convince the dudes in the room, at least one of them, to specifically say, you sit with me, like I'm booking you. You have to confirm that they're actually booking you. Once you sit down, then you get paid. It's technically, I believe it's, I always get paid $100 an hour. That's just what I say, $100 an hour. Yeah. But I guess the technical price is $80 an hour plus tip. So we get paid whatever by the hour. The first hour, it is $100. Let me just try to word this properly. So when you first sit down, there's like a group, a work chat through KakaoTalk, like basically like a Korean WhatsApp, and you confirm the time. So once you sit down, you say room one, and then my boss will send the timestamp and the hourly rate. And so once you sit down, it's by default, it's for 2 hours. So after 2 hours, you're supposed to ask again if you would like to extend. But say they just cut you off after, like before an hour is complete, they have to give you $100 if it's between 30 minutes and an hour. Gotcha. And then after that, it's by the hour extended, 80 an hour. But I basically made 100 an hour. Then I would continue. You could either choose to leave after that room or continue to work. And then if you continue to work, he would basically calculate the total of hours that you were booked. And per hour that you're booked, I have to give them $30.
Right. Gotcha. There's like a table fee, then an hourly above that. Like,
yeah.
Like, kind of like how a strip club would work, right?
Basically, yeah. Or and also, he had there's drivers. So there's my boss. Then there's the boss above him, which I never really see. And then there's also the drivers. So there's probably like three drivers that get paid $20 an hour, and the girls will sometimes tip them. And I'm not really sure the inner workings of my boss and the higher boss, but I believe they split all the profits of all the girls.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So I've been to, not your party, but I've been to some like underground parties in my lifetime, right? When I was younger and more fun. And things go on there, right? Like things that you wouldn't actually do in the light, come out in the dark, right? And so in this case, you know, drugs were prevalent, I would assume.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's interesting because these places are posed as karaoke's, you know, when you think karaoke, like, oh, family fun. No. Like, so basically, I mean, pretty much every room I've been in, there's always coke. Always. I don't personally like do coke or drugs or anything. I just drink. But there's a lot of pressure to do it. They have Molly in some rooms. There's some people take shrooms. But yeah, I've actually been drugged before in these rooms. Like, yeah, a lot goes on. And I don't know how much in detail you want me to go.
As much as you're comfortable with. I mean, as much as you're...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, cool. The clientele, I mean, especially the older Korean men, because this actually originated, this exists in Korea, but to like a prostitution level. So they tried to start like a milder version here, but sometimes like the older Korean men will just like assume it's like a brothel or something. And like some girls will like actually like have sex like with the customers in rooms, and there'll be like a sign that's like do not disturb. And like, it's just crazy. And it's this middle ground for us of it being like legal versus illegal.
Right.
I mean, I've been in a raid before. It's mainly to do when there's raids, I believe it's due to their liquor license, whether they have it or not. And also due to the time, because like there's security guards, there's cameras. So if it's past 2 a.m., like they'll continue to party till like 8 in the morning.
Right. Yeah. It's undoubtedly the liquor license and then the timing thing. But so when you're... Obviously, you're not the only girl in the room, right? So, like, do you have a...
Sometimes I am. Sometimes
you are.
It depends.
I mean, is there a sense of competition? Like, you kind of mentioned this, like, lineup,
sure.
Right? Where it's like, you, maybe not you or you, whatever. Is it competitive, again, you know, with your, I don't want to say your coworkers, but especially the ones that engage in, like, prostitution? I mean, are they obviously more sought after than those who don't? I would assume so, right?
Right. So basically, there's, like I said, I was part of one specific company who had about 100 girls, let's say. And let's say, I think on average, maybe, it depends on the night, like Friday nights, there's like 25 girls signed into the work chat. On a Monday, there might be like 10. But that's just our company. I would say there's probably, if I could guess, like 20 different companies. So all these girls are all trying. So like on a Friday night, let's just use that as an example. It's chaos. Like there's so many girls, like it's just like a flock of girls. Like trying all these rooms. And so I've learned, I mean, when I first started doing it, I wasn't getting booked because you have to have like a business minded type of sense, I guess. And you're basically a salesperson, like for yourself. Like, so I had to learn little things like don't try a room, option paralysis, you know, like all girls are trying a room and there's like 15 of them there. So I would wait until all of them left and then I would just go in by myself. And then they were just focused on me and it became easier for me to get booked. Also how you look, I changed my look. Like when I used to work, then I used to be kind of natural, but then I went for a Kim K look, like straightening my hair, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
So the looks matter. And also once you get more popular and the customers like praise you to the staff, then they'll start pushing you is what it's called. So they'll like recommend you. They'll like grab you from the girl, all the girls, and like take you in alone. And like, this one is like really fun or whatever. So like I said, I never participated in like the prostitution aspect of it. So I had to figure out how to be charming and sexy enough. I just used my brain, you know, like my intelligence to kind of seduce them in a way. So that's worked for me. But I mean, a lot of girls have a lot of trouble because they'll have a lot of pressure to like, hey, like, suck my dick for 20 minutes. Like, no, like, get away from me. But you have to like learn how to maneuver those situations in like a pleasing way.
Right.
You know, like if like act like it's, oh no, not here, honey. Like, let's maybe later, you know, like,
yeah, you gotta keep
really
them on the hook.
In your mind. In your mind, you're like, ugh, like, no. But yeah, so I don't know.
So clear something up for me. You're talking about these like rooms. Are we talking about one building?
Yeah. So there's one building. So in each, I mean, there's like a scale of class. Mm-hmm. I mean, celebrities, I've been booked with Post Malone before. Like there's literally like celebrities that come. There's like a lot of rappers that come and they mainly come to like the upscale ones.
Yeah.
So it would be the upscale ones are usually in like a, what's it called? Like the parking garage type structure with a lot of, and so you walk into the karaoke and there's the rooms, there's all these room numbers. There depends on the karaoke. Let's say there's 15 rooms. And there's bigger rooms, like party rooms, like for 20 people, there's smaller rooms for like 5 people, but it's basically you just open the door and it's like a wraparound booth, you know, like at a restaurant, like and there's a table in the middle and it's like a U-shaped booth. It's basically just like that, like a soft couch with like a big table in the middle. And then you have to pay in order, if you're a customer, you have to buy a bottle. You don't have to pay, but the bottles are like obviously very expensive. Right, like if you want a bottle of Patron, it's like $400, but you're just paying for the bottle. And the girls, like all of us, the actual venue isn't responsible for us. Like we have nothing to do. It's almost like a catering service. Like, so they have nothing to do with us. And then our boss deals. And then they have to pay us separate on top of like the bottle and tipping the waiters. Then they also have to pay us like as a separate thing.
Right. So when it comes down to it, if you're not doing the prostitution angle, it's really how fun and charming you really are, right? Like, I mean, it's because, and I don't mean this.
It's how good of a manipulator you are.
Yeah, I don't want to like call you a manipulator, but like,
no, feel free because that's what I do. I'm a professional manipulator. I'm a professional manipulator.
That's really what it is, right? Like, it's just this implied promise that never comes to be.
Yeah.
Every single
time. Also, some girls will do like offsites. So say you can develop like a regular, you know, like say this guy really likes you, he'll call you back to the karaoke's. And sometimes like girls can get comfortable enough to where they'll do it outside of K-Town, like at some, like maybe a hotel room, like a suite or at their house even. And it's the same rate or they can charge more. And then you don't have to tip out. Like it's actually, you're not supposed to get caught because you'll get like banned and like fired. But yeah, some girls will do that to where they don't even have to tip out anymore because the boss doesn't know. Yeah.
Right. And so there's multiple companies, call them companies, right, that like arrange, service these parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you are aligned with one. Are there ones better than the others to like work for? Like, I mean, is there like a sense that like, you know, if you had a chance to work for Nike or Reebok, you'd go work for Nike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or if you had Google or Yahoo, you'd go work for Google. Like, is there this sense that you were with the right company, or did you ever like switch companies, or how does that go?
Well, actually, it's funny. Me and my ex roommate tried to start our own company, so
if you can't beat them, join them. Yeah,
for sure. Because just the money that they make compared, like us girls, we make good money, but like they make way more, you know? So we were like, okay, well then maybe we won't have to do this anymore. But anyway, so as far to answer your question, yes, I would say that there's, it depends, like there's very big companies, like one is called Kiss. Kiss is probably the biggest one with the most girls. And they're the most established because the owner of the company has been doing this for what, like 15, 17 years, you know? And it's, I mean, I feel like K-Town has expanded a lot as of the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to when I had first started back in 2019, like there's just so many more girls because they're telling each other their friends, and like it's just a lot more expansive than it was. But I would say that like the bigger companies like Kiss, they have good relationships with the actual venues and the owners of the karaoke's. So they get what's called like first call. So say like new customers come in, they like just like how girls have like our own work chat, the karaoke's and the company owners have their own chat. So they'll get calls like, okay, new guys at whatever venue, Rosin. And then so Kiss will get called first so that they can get first dibs. They can get their girls to try first. And then they'll call the other companies. So yes, there are better companies in the sense that they'll get called first. And also some companies with the politics, like some companies are banned from going to the nicer places because of personal issues at the company owners. And they're very dramatic, honestly. They're like,
yeah, I mean, but it's like a syndicate in a way, right? Like mm-hmm. there's like a pecking order.
And yeah, exactly.
Like, and is this, I guess, are like the heads of the, are they Korean?
Yes. Yeah. That's like, well, like actually there's one company that is run by a Mexican guy, and that's only because he claims that he has some like ties with the cartel. So they like, he kind of like strong armed his way into it, even though he's not Korean. Yeah. And also another thing about the politics is apparently also there's like two gangs to top it all off. There's like, I don't know which gangs they are, but there's two gangs that kind of overlook all of K-Town, like everything that goes on, like the karaoke's have to pay out the gang as individually. Protection. Yeah. As protection, yeah.
Wow.
And the companies, not just the karaoke's, but also like my boss has to pay out.
That's crazy.
As well, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This whole thing's nuts, and I live like right here too. Yeah. I'm totally missing out. Like I clearly you should be doing something with my Tuesday night, but apparently I'm not. But you know, now I know there's something going on, right? Like I don't have to just go to
the always.
Den. I don't have to go to the den for the 55th time. I can actually go somewhere else. Yes. Right. So, can I ask Gary, are you still doing it or did you get out?
Well, I'm still doing, as it stands, I've decided to just take this whole month off. And I'm planning, like I said, to move to Miami. And I might work one day a week now, but I used to work maybe like 4 or 5 days a week, but it's become so taxing on my mental, and it's obviously a very toxic, hedonistic environment that I did not plan on being in for this long. The money is so good. It's like a black hole. You know, like you make all this money, but the hours are insane. Like I'll start work at 10:30. And granted, you can choose what days you work, like every week. There's no schedule. Like say I wanted to work tonight, I would just have to let my boss know before 7 p.m. that I'm working. Like I can just decide. I can take 2 months off if I want. But because I'm very driven and motivated and I love money, I was working like constantly. And so I just got sucked in the cycle of work, having zero energy to do anything. Yeah. To answer your question, I am doing it still, but here and there, because I just can't, my liver can't take it. When you're binge drinking 4 days a week from like 10 p.m. until like 6 a.m, like,
yeah, that's tough.
And I've become such a homebody because people, like even just my normal friends, will be like, do you want to go out to Lock and Key? I'm like, absolutely not. I partied for a living, you know.
Did you sense that because of like the slowdown in the industry, like in the entertainment industry, are there more girls now like going into this? Or is it, obviously COVID may have made it weird or whatever, but is it counter?
Did not slow it down at all.
Okay, so like liquor, like so, like the liquor industry booms when the economy goes bad, right? Like it just it like explodes, right? Like so, mm-hmm. all through like the COVID shutdown, like liquor companies have just done phenomenally, right? So, does this wax and wane with like the economy as you sense it, or is it just always there's always a market no matter what?
There's always a demand, you know. There's guys are going to be guys always.
Yeah, well, right. But, that's not going to. Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's always a demand. I would say it has, it did slow down like when COVID happened, and it's been generally slower, I think maybe due to the economy and also COVID and just people struggling for jobs. But I mean, a lot of the people that come out have money, like they're entrepreneurs or they're doing this. So it like their line of business like hasn't really been too affected by anything else going on, you know, like they're like the top. I mean, there's some really broke people that go, don't get me wrong, but overall I would say it does wax and wane to a small degree, but there's always people coming out, so it's not like too bad.
Yeah, that's cool. So one final question for you, and this is the most important question: has there ever actually been karaoke at one of these parties?
Actually, yes. I'll actually use that as a tactic to not have to deal with these guys. I'll be, oh, let's sing.
Right, right. Oh, my favorite thing, karaoke, and they don't have it anywhere in LA. Let's do it. Yeah.
Right. I'll rap, not sing, because I can't sing. But yeah, there is.
Yeah, right.
Karaoke does. You always have the option.
Very cool. I will wrap it up, and I want to thank you. This is like a really super weird, cool story.
Right.
I appreciate you taking the time. And so this is the Adam Tracy Underground podcast. Find us on SoundCloud and wherever podcasts are listened to, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. For more episodes, visit us at adamtracy.io or your leading podcast providers.